Have you printed out the free coloring sheet for this lesson? You can download and print it at the link in our show notes. And you can access full lesson activity guides, bonus videos, nature devotions, and our themed Bible and nature scavenger hunts in the Nat Theo Club. When you join, you receive new resources every week and access to all our back content. Dive deeper into God's creation and the Bible in the Nat Theo Club at erinlynham.com/club or at the link in our show notes.
Hello world, wake me up to another good morning, time to go.
Are you ready to explore God's wild and wonderful world? Welcome to the Nat Theo Podcast. I'm your host, Erin Lynham. I'm a certified master naturalist, Bible teacher, and author, and I am so excited to dive into God's written word, the Bible, and his created world with you. Have you ever learned about a creature that was so bizarre you could hardly believe it? When I began learning about the creature that we are meeting today, things kept getting weirder and more wonderful, because even strange creatures have a whole lot to teach us about God's creativity and wisdom. Today, we are discovering God's designs in the duck-billed platypus. Here is our trail map.
Are you ready?
We are going to answer the question, why does a platypus lay eggs? And how is a platypus venomous? Why does a platypus have a bill? And finally, what does scripture say about being different? I want to give a huge thank you to my son, Ellison, who recently joined our research team and helped gather interesting information about the platypus that inspired today's lesson. Before we hit the trail, let's thank our sponsor who made this lesson possible, CTC Math. Have you ever noticed the spiral of a snail's shell or counted the petals on a flower? Math is hidden everywhere in God's creation, helping us unlock the secrets of science and nature. With CTC Math, you can learn math at your own pace through short, easy-to-understand video lessons that take the frustration out of math class. CTC Math has given my kids a clear path forward for learning and using math in everyday life. I have seen my kids grow in confidence, knowledge, and math skills using CTC Math for over a year now. Join over 217,000 students around the world, including my kids, growing through CTC Math. Begin with a free trial today at ctcmath.com. If you're searching for engaging storybooks, hands-on curriculum, or exciting resources that help you see the world through a biblical lens, head to christianbook.com. Our family loves discovering new and classic books and materials at christianbook.com that help us fill our home, minds, and hearts with everything beautiful and true. From children's, youth, and study Bibles to nature study resources and activity books, Christian Book offers a robust catalog to find just what you're looking for. Make your next adventure even more meaningful with fun and trusted resources from christianbook.com or at the link in our show notes. It's time for our trivia question. How long can a platypus hold its breath for underwater? A, 1 to 2 minutes. B, 5 to 6 minutes. C, up to 11 minutes. Or D, over 15 minutes. Again, how long can a platypus hold its breath for while underwater? A, 1 to 2 minutes. B, 5 to 6 minutes. C, up to 11 minutes. Or D, over 15 minutes. Take a guess and we will find out at the end of today's lesson. And Nat Theo Club members, make sure after this lesson to click over to the bonus video. We will be learning about another very interesting creature similar to the platypus called an echidna. You can find that bonus video at the link in our show notes or in your Nat Theo Club dashboard. Listeners, if you want to dive deeper into God's wild and wonderful world, you can do that in the Nat Theo Club with our weekly bonus videos, lesson activity guides, nature devotions, and Bible and nature scavenger hunts. Learn more and join at the link in our show notes. Today's lesson is inspired by a wonderful question from one of our listeners.
Hi, my name is Harper and I'm 11 years old and I live in Colorado. And I want to know, why do platypuses lay eggs if they are mammals?
That is a great question, Harper. Why do platypuses lay eggs if they are mammals? One thing that is very confusing and strange about the platypus is that it lays eggs. Now, that might not seem so strange at first because there are many different kinds of animals that lay eggs. Birds lay eggs, toads and other amphibians lay eggs. Fish have eggs, and reptiles have eggs. But the curious thing about a platypus laying eggs is that it is a mammal. Mammals are a category or group of animals that have hair or fur, are warm-blooded, have a backbone, most have live births, and they feed their babies with milk from their bodies. So most mammals have live births, which means they don't lay eggs, they just birth a baby. Examples of this are cats, dogs, horses, and cows. These mammals do not lay eggs. But the platypus is different. It is a mammal that lays eggs. Platypus belong to an order or a smaller group of mammals called monotremes. Monotremes are a small group of mammals that lay eggs instead of having live births. Monotremes include the duck-billed platypus that we are learning about today, and four types of another creature called echidnas. These are the only types of mammals that lay eggs, and because they lay eggs, they get their own special category or order. The thing about studying science and nature is that it can surprise us. Animals don't always fit into neat, tidy categories like we might want them to. Scientists have worked very hard over hundreds of years to sort out animals, categorizing them by how they look or behave so that we can better understand them. But these categories are human-made. God created the platypus unique, and then humans sorted it into a group with echidnas because they share things in common, specifically that they lay eggs. It's kind of similar to how people sort the Bible by using chapters and verse numbers. You see, when God inspired human authors to write the Bible, it began as written documents, including history, poems, songs, and letters to churches. Later, people split those writings into chapters and verses so that we can easily find specific things in the Bible. This is kind of similar with categorizing animals. God designed all of the animals. Some share things in common. And humans have worked hard to sort them into groups to help people better understand them and know what things are and are not. So the simple answer as to why platypuses lay eggs is because God designed them that way. It only confuses us because humans made a category called mammals that have live births, and then they placed the egg-laying platypus into that category. However, we can understand this better when we know that there is a small group of mammals, known as monotremes, that are indeed mammals, but are also special in that they lay eggs. You see, listener, God never designed the platypus to fit neatly into our human-made categories. He simply designed the platypus wild and wonderful and unique. And then humans created a category called monotremes to put the platypus in along with echidnas. But what about those unique eggs that a platypus lays? A mother platypus lays 1 to 3 eggs. Now they are not hard like a bird's egg might be. Instead, they are soft and leathery, more like a turtle's egg. And they are also more round than a bird's egg. They are white or pale in color, and they are very small. They are less than 1 inch in diameter, or about the size of a marble. Laying eggs is not the only unique thing about the platypus. Before a female platypus can lay eggs, she needs to mate with a male or a boy platypus. And the male platypuses, they have to battle each other to win in order to mate with the females. Male platypuses have a spur, kind of like a spike, located on the inside of their ankles. These spurs are hollow, and they are connected inside the platypus's legs up to a gland, kind of like a pocket, in the platypus's thigh or upper leg. This gland, kind of like a pocket, is called a crural gland. During the mating season, the crural gland makes venom for the male platypus to use against other male platypuses. Now, this venom, it is a very smart mixture of at least 19 different proteins from three major groups of toxins. So it is a very powerful venomous mixture made inside the crural gland, which can be shot out through the spur or spike. This venom, thankfully, is not deadly to humans, but it can cause extreme pain that can last for weeks. The venom also does not kill the other platypus. When the male platypuses are battling, one will wrap its body around the other and then stab its rival with that spur. The venom inside causes extreme pain and even paralysis so that the platypus who is stabbed cannot move. This makes it very easy for the winning platypus to mate with the female. Male platypuses use the spur and venom in breeding season, but not for hunting their food. They have a very different and interesting method for hunting. Platypuses live in freshwater streams and rivers in Australia and Tasmania, and they are carnivores. This means that they eat meat or other creatures. They do not eat plants. Platypuses really enjoy eating insect larvae or baby insects, worms, and small crustaceans, such as shrimp. But how do they find their prey underwater? Let me ask you this. If you jump into a pool of water, do you jump in with your eyes open and while breathing in? No, of course not. It is no fun having your open eyes splashed with water. And of course, we should not breathe in when we are underwater. Instead, you probably close your eyes and plug your nose or stop breathing in. The platypus does the same when it is underwater, and it even closes its ears. The platypus has muscular grooves on the side of its head that close over its eyes and ears when it's underwater. So this means that the platypus cannot see or hear when underwater. So how do you think it finds its prey? This is where the platypus's very unique bill comes in handy. This unique bill is designed to sense or feel what is going on under the water around the platypus. The bill has different kinds of sensors to give the platypus a whole lot of helpful information. Let's look at two kinds of sensors on the platypus's bill. Mechanoreceptors help the platypus feel tiny changes in water movement or pressure. This type of sensor lets the platypus know if a worm is wriggling nearby. Another kind of sensor on the bill is called electroreceptors. Electroreceptors sense electrical charges around the platypus. You see, every living thing has an electrical charge. That includes the prey that a platypus is looking for. The electroreceptors in the bill help it feel the electricity made by other creatures nearby. So even though the platypus cannot see, smell, or hear well underwater, its bill is designed incredibly well with these tiny sensors to help it find the food it needs. The platypus is very unique in God's creation, and it can remind us of many different creatures. It has a bill on its face, kind of like a duck, venomous spikes, kind of like a snake's venomous teeth, webbed feet like an otter, a tail like a beaver's. It has claws like a reptile. It can sense electricity like many fish, including sharks, can, and it lays leathery eggs like a turtle. Many people say the platypus is the strangest creature on Earth. Would you agree with that? Whether or not it is indeed the strangest creature, it is certainly unique. But unique does not mean bad. In fact, in the uniqueness of the platypus, we can see God's creativity and wisdom. Psalm 104:24 says, "How many are your works, Lord? In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures." Every creature God has made can teach us about His wisdom. But what do you think wisdom is? Wisdom is more than only knowledge or knowing something. This verse was originally written in the Hebrew language, and the word used for wisdom is chokmah. It can mean skill, cleverness, and ability. In the platypus's unique and special design, we can see God's skill, cleverness, and ability. He gave the platypus exactly what it needs. You know, listeners, the platypus is certainly different. And sometimes we might feel a little different from those around us. You might talk differently, act differently, or your family might live differently from those around you. It can be hard to feel different. And that was true when I was a kid. My family lived very differently than other families that I knew. For one, we were homeschooled. And back then, not many families at all were homeschooled. I remember other kids treating us differently, and sadly, sometimes saying mean things to us because we homeschooled. We were also different from some kids in our neighborhood because we chose not to use swear words or say mean things about others. And we were different because we spent a lot of time in church and at Bible studies. Reading the Bible and following God was very important in my family. Listener, when we follow Jesus, we will look differently and act differently than those around us who do not follow Jesus. And that's okay. It's actually good because the Bible says that this should be the case. The Bible says that we should be different from those around us. Listen to Romans 12:2. "Do not be shaped by this world. Instead, be changed within by a new way of thinking. Then you will be able to decide what God wants for you. You will know what is good and pleasing to Him and what is perfect." We won't only be different. The Bible says that also some people will actually hate us because we follow God. In John 14:16 to 17, Jesus was talking to His Father God, and He said this, "I have given them your teaching, and the world has hated them because they don't belong to the world, just as I don't belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They don't belong to the world, just as I don't belong to the world." People who do not follow God, they don't have His light in their hearts, and they don't understand His truth. Because of this, many will disagree with what we believe and say, and some might even act pretty hateful toward us. Listeners, I have seen this in my life. Many people who do not know God do not believe that He created everything in nature, and so they disagree with what I teach about God creating everything, and they can even sometimes be mean about this. This is, of course, hard at times. But when it happens, I remember this scripture from John, that I can expect that others might see me as different and even sometimes be mean, but it's for a good reason. It's because I follow God. I find comfort knowing that I do not belong to this world. I belong to God, and what He says about me is what matters. Listeners, if you ever feel different or even unliked because you believe in and follow God, be encouraged. God's truth and what He says about you, that is what matters. Whenever you see or think about a platypus, remember that different is not bad. When we live by God's design and His plan, we are on the right path. His way is always best. Listeners, we don't need to be accepted by those who don't follow God. Instead, we are accepted by God. Now, we should not say things just to make people upset or angry or ruffle feathers, but we can confidently hold up God's truth without being afraid of what others might think about us. and we can accept one another in the body of Christ, as Romans 15:7 says, Christ accepted you, so you should accept each other, which will bring glory to God. It's time now to answer a question from one of our listeners. Here is today's question.
Hello, my name is Andrew. I'm 6 years old and I live in England. Here are my questions. Are we warm-blooded or cold-blooded? And are humans mammals?
That is a great question, Andrew. Are humans mammals? And are we warm-blooded or cold-blooded? This is a great question for today, as we learned what mammals are. As a refresher, mammals are a category of animals that are warm-blooded, have a backbone, have hair or fur, and most have live births and create milk to nourish their babies. As humans, we fit into this definition. We have a backbone, we are warm-blooded, which means that our bodies stay at a constant temperature of about 98.6 degrees Fahrenheit. We have hair, thick on our heads, but also covering our bodies in smaller amounts. And women can give birth to living babies instead of laying eggs and can create milk to nourish their babies. Because we fit this description, science classifies humans as mammals. However, God created us and sees us very differently from animals. Just as we learned with the platypus, people made categories for all living things. But God does not necessarily see things in these same categories. God has given us humans abilities that are far greater than any animal classifications on earth. God created us humans with an everlasting soul, which can have a relationship with God. That is not true of any animals, so we are, in fact, different from animals in a very big way. Though our bodies have some similarities with mammals, we are better described as God's children. Thanks for your great question, Andrew. Stay curious about God's wild and wonderful world. And Nat Theo Club members, make sure after this lesson to click over to the bonus video, where we will be learning about another very interesting creature similar to the platypus, but called an echidna. You can find that video in the link in our show notes or your Nat Theo Club dashboard. It's time to answer our trivia question. How long can a platypus hold its breath for underwater? A, 1 to 2 minutes. B, 5 to 6 minutes, C, up to 11 minutes, or D, over 15 minutes. The answer is C, up to 11 minutes. Now, a platypus normally dives for only a minute or less to find food. However, it might dive for up to 5 minutes to hunt. But sometimes the platypus will stay underwater for longer, up to 11 minutes. It will do this if it feels threatened or like it's in danger to hide beneath the water. God made the platypus able to slow its heart rate way down to only around 1 beat per minute and to stop moving to save energy so that it can stay hidden under the water for up to 11 minutes. Isn't that amazing? Now it's your turn to explore. Research a strange creature or go find one outside. Find a creature that doesn't look like what you would expect it to, or acts differently from the creatures around it. Study or observe it for a while, and find some ways that God designed that creature wonderfully. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this lesson on the platypus, please take a moment to send it to a friend. And subscribe, rate, and review Nat Theo wherever you listen. Until next time, keep exploring God's wild and wonderful world. We are all loved.